Back here on Midday with Trey and BK. Coming up later in the hour, we have our usual Shooting the Bull segment at 12:30, where we veer off the sports path. Not that we're afraid to do that at any other point in this show, as we prove each and every day. And final segment, we will take our Game 3 predictions for tonight, including how close I think I am to having to wear a romper while eating something from Taco Bell. I don't know what grosses me out more, which of those two thoughts, but those two things are two games away from becoming a reality.
Oh, come on. I still don't think I'm rooting for the Warriors, but I kind of would enjoy that. Mainly the Taco Bell part. I'm not going to look at you in the romper, but washing you stomach down some Taco Bell, I'm going to love that.
May puke on the air again if I end up having to do that. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to speak with Matt Steinmetz. He does Warriors postgame for 95.7 The Game out in the Bay Area. Looking forward to that.
Steinmetz.
Hopefully there's a series to be had.
That's one of my guys. Steinmetz.
Yeah, that's not a Gentile name for sure.
That's one of ours, baby.
But right now, we are thrilled to be joined by an actor, an author. His accomplishments include accredited roles in Homeland, Nashville, Children of the Corn 2, Careful What You Wish For, and, of course, the movie that we were discussing last segment, The Program. He played Ray Griffin, the senior starting running back, and the guy dating Halle Berry, who ends up coming around at the end and serving as the starting fullback for the team to allow the young true freshman stud to really play the hero at the end. He is J. Leon Pridgen II. Leon, thank you so much for the time today. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. And it's Ray Griffin starting.
Say that one more time, Leon. You're kind of breaking up there.
Oh, it's Ray Griffin, starting tailback.
Starting tailback. That's
yeah, starting. Hey, that's why they brought in Jefferson in, though. That's why they recruited him, right?
Exactly. And by the way, I am sitting here in a romper looking at some Taco Bell, so don't worry, you're not going to be by yourself.
He fits right in with the show's theme then. Thank you very much for that, Leon. Of course, Leon is citing one of the classic lines from the start of that movie when Omar Epps' character meets Leon's character, and the two have quite the rapport throughout the movie. I want to start, Leon, with your fondest memories from making that film. I've read over the last couple of days that the shooting locations changed from Duke to Boston College and really shot on different campuses and different football stadiums all over the country. What are some of your fondest memories from getting to make this movie back in 1992, 1993?
South Carolina at the Gamecock Stadium at William Bryce.
That's what y'all's home stadium was. Okay.
Exactly. Colors were Boston College colors. The greatest thing about working on that film was just everybody who was there. One of the things, David Ward started the day off from the time that I met him casting at my audition. He said that we are making the best college football film ever. And that's how we started our day. That was the thought process. So everybody kind of worked that in to their mentality. And it wasn't a thing of, like, taking you inside the huddle. He was actually trying to take you inside the helmet. And so you knew what was happening, what was making these guys click, what was their drive, why were they there, what kind of purpose they had. But it was just great camaraderie with all of those guys. I would love to say that, I executed all my stunts and I went and balled out. But I will tell you, when they say, okay, it's time to line them up, I was like, hey, somebody go get that double real quick. I was real quick to find somebody to help me out.
That's funny. That is funny. Leon, I was going to ask this a little bit later, but I've got to ask you, man. I can't put this off anymore. You were dating Halle Berry, and this is, 26-year-old Halle Berry at the time, and you got to kiss her in the movie. Just can you explain how great of an experience that was, man? I know you're married now, and you've got a couple of children, which is awesome. I'm not trying to put you in the doghouse right here. But how great was that?
I'm going to tell you something. You can do a lot of things in life and have a lot of fun, but automatically, with everybody that I knew that I grew up with, they realized I was in a movie with Halle Berry. And let me tell you something. And nothing better than going back to a high school reunion, knowing that you kissed Halle Berry. and all the other girls have turned you down. That's one flag you can wave in their face and never have a problem.
That is fantastic. She was
the coolest, the sweetest person, and I'm going to tell you, and so down to earth. You know, no, ever pay attention to all the other stuff that you hear and read, but when I first met her, the one thing that she did to kind of make sure, you know, because she's Halle Berry, the one thing she did to make you immediately feel at ease is she started running the game of the dozens, where you just start cracking on each other. And so it was real cool, except I was starting to get the better of her, and then I started to say something, and I was like, gee, that's Halle Berry. You can't say that. It was like, yeah, everybody knows that's a lie. You can't make that up. But she is. She was and is the coolest person that I had met. Loved her.
That is awesome. And it sounds like you know, have kept in touch with her at least a little bit. Are there any other of the characters, any of the actors in the movie that you still talk to? We know this is 24, almost 25 years old, but do you still keep in touch with the guys you made this movie with?
Not often as I used to. When we were closer to the project, and of course, you know, from time to time, you may end up running into somebody, and you're like, oh, yeah, oh, remember what we did, such and such, you know, that kind of thing. But I wish there were folks that maybe I hung out with more often. But you're so busy running and doing different things, and obviously some of the different things I do today, you don't have as much frequency. And, you know, like I said, you have kids.
J. Leon Pridgen II joining us right now. He is an actor and author whose credits include the movie The Program, which is our summer series film that we were reviewing a little bit earlier. He played Ray Griffin in the movie. And Leon, you had mentioned David S. Ward's vision of making the best college football movie ever up to that point. And quite frankly, a lot of people still feel like it is the best college football movie ever made. And one of the reasons why people feel that way is that there were issues brought to the forefront that hadn't really been discussed, especially in movie form, like performance-enhancing drugs, like the Heisman Trophy candidate who falls short of expectations, a coach who is his job is on the hot seat as he enters the season that is really profiled in the movie. Were there any reservations about any of these issues, including Alvin Mack and his NFL hopes and hopes to bring his family a better life, getting injured partway through the season and basically having those hopes derailed? Were there any reservations about any of the subject matter that were being brought up?
There was no reservations about that particular subject matter. There was one thing that did happen. I think that everybody bought the commitment and understanding of what their characters, what experience they were going through. None of the guys in the film, you know, some of them were ex-football players, so it was true to their story. They were just, you know, they weren't doing a film, they were telling their story. There was one thing that we were doing in the film. There is a session where Joe Kane is out on the railroad tracks. You know, he's a little drunk, he's been drinking beer, and he lays underneath or beside the train as it goes by.
Mm-hmm.
As it was originally scripted, they took that out because he was actually supposed to lay on the tracks. Well, with any train, there's a gearbox that you could never get over a human being. They removed that because they said they didn't want to have anything happen where somebody might try that and have some unfortunate incident. Which was really strange because there's a scene where the guys are lying on the highway and cars are going by. And there were a couple of high school kids who tried to replicate that. I think there was one young man, and I apologize, I do not recall his name, in Pennsylvania, who was laying down with a group of guys in the middle of the road and sadly, tragically, lost his life. You know, and it was weird for a lot of us because we knew that there were things that were being done because we didn't want to be an influence and have kids do something that was going to get themselves in trouble or killed. And so that was the only tough thing from that whole experience that I recall happened. From the standpoint of dealing with those issues that are real, that college kids are going through, that young pro athletes are experiencing, you know, we didn't want to hold back. We didn't want to be handcuffed. We did not want to shy away from, you know, the rivalries between players or over a girl or all of us, because it happens. It's reality. same thing with the performance enhancing drug. You know, sad thing is that is part of that price, and you just want to make sure that you're doing your part to heighten awareness to try and make sure that people understand what dangers or elements are out there, and how do we deal with that? How do we arise above that? How do we do that and then keep moving forward as a team, as guys who are going into the den together to fight? You know, we want to make sure that you just understand, hey, there are things out there, they do happen, but this is how you combat that. These are some things to put in your arsenal, put in your pocket, so that you can be ready to fight against it. So,
no doubt about it.
No, we were ready to attack the material and that vision.
No doubt. That's great. That's great. Leon, in your experience, and we talked about this, we told our listeners a couple days ago we were going to watch this movie, and people were excited about it and excited and are texting into the show. It's almost a quarter century year old. In your experience, has this movie stood the test of time? I mean, do people see you in the streets and still call you Ray and start quoting, you know, stuff from the program? Is this still a big part in your life?
You know, I'm going to tell you something. For a while, it was. I still get the kind of things sometimes, you know, and thankfully, I've done some other work, but every now and then I'll get that look where somebody's like, didn't you go to school with me? Or we played football, didn't we? I'm like, no, I think you might have got too hooked, but we didn't play together. But yeah, no, it is still, you know, sometimes, and the place where I really get it is a lot of times when I'm around ex-athletes. Those are the ones who kind of had come up on the movie, seen it every Friday night, saw it every Saturday night, whatever it was, and you know, whether it was getting hyped up for a high school game or something like that. But ex-professional players, I've been able to have a little bit of in sometimes when I'm in different situations, because it's like, oh, you were the guy that, yeah. And one thing that people don't maybe not realize, George Rogers, who was the Heisman winner, running back for South Carolina, he actually played one of the coaches in the film. And I saw him probably about 4 years ago. He was in an event I was at, and you know, he was out there with his Heisman trophy and all that kind of stuff. And so we kind of had a couple of good laughs and recapped some of those times, because did get to hang out with him a good bit.
That's really cool. Now, I know you live in North Carolina currently, mm-hmm. Leon. Are you a big college football fan? I would assume so, but perhaps that's a false assumption to make. And if so, who is the team or are the teams that you really love to watch?
I'm more of a pro football fan.
Okay.
But as far as college is concerned, I still am. When I was doing that movie, actually, if you look at the colors, the locations that they were down to shoot most of the football stuff came down to South Carolina. They were also looking down in Alabama and Florida, because the colors were reminiscent of Florida State. That was kind of their idea of the color scheme and everything they were going with. And so I was a big Bobby Bowden fan when we were shooting the film, and still am today. I had a little bit of a rough time when Bobby got let go and the way that whole thing went down. But I've kind of come around to Jimbo Fisher, and I'm back with Florida State again. So that's who I'll roll with.
But are you a Panthers fan? Is that who your pro team is?
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay.
Oh, heck yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Cam is the man. So you can say whatever you want to, think whatever you want to. Cam's going to be back this year.
So you're confident the Panthers are going to make another successful run this season?
I think so. You know, the one thing that they needed to look at shoring up is the offensive line. Because, I mean, it was not very good. They did not spend as much time on the field with the offense as they did the previous year. But obviously with, you know, growth and maturity and learning how to deal with and handle success. But I think that with some of the work that they've done to get that offensive line shored up, you're going to see some really nice things happen. I'm real curious to see how McCaffrey's going to look, because that's just an additional weapon that you have in the backfield from a passing standpoint. You know, defense, young boys that were out there on the island last year having to survive, They took their lumps, but you wait and see what those cornerbacks and safeties are going to be able to do. And they're going to get more pressure up front. I'm always ride or die, baby. Come on with the Panthers.
J. Leon Pridgen II, he is an actor and author whose credits include The Program. He played Ray Griffin in that movie. We're going to get to the author part of that title here in a second, but you did mention that you do still act, Leon. What are the some of the recent roles that you've taken, maybe something that is upcoming that people can catch you in, and what are the types of characters that you pursue at this point in your acting career?
Well, I'm always going to be pursuing characters with integrity, but I like to have usually like characters who have some kind of issue, because it gives you more to work with. I do have a few things that I've done. Careful What You Wish For is one of the more recent films that I did with Nick Jonas and Paul Sorvino. He plays a sheriff in this small town. I'm his deputy. And he was a lot of fun. He's a great guy. Great guy. So that is out. And the most recent thing that I did just a few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of working on a show called Greenleaf, which is on the O Network. And they introduced my character. It's last episode of the season. We'll see where it goes from here. But he happens to be an immigration attorney. His name's Ehrlich Breyer. And so we'll see what happens. Maybe that'll continue. Who knows? But always on the grind, always looking for more work. So if anybody's out there, hey, hire me. I'm looking. and also doing some writing as well.
Yeah, I'll say you're doing a little bit of writing. And speaking of, coming up in less than a month now, on July 4th, you have a military-inspired book coming out called Unit 416. Tell us a little bit about that book. Obviously, you don't want to give too much away, but what is the synopsis of Unit 416?
Sure. Unit 416 is about a group of guys that are put together by the CIA and an offshoot branch of the military, the Army, to infiltrate arms and drug cartels in Afghanistan and Uzbekistan. And when they get assigned to this mission, and these are guys who the characters are, if they weren't in the military, let's say their options may not have been college, but it would have probably been the penal institutions of America. So they're kind of, you know, guys that not a whole lot is expected of, but they're put together and trained by Master Sergeant Miles Keeble, who is on his way out of the military because of injury that he sustained, and his only option to stay in is training these guys. And so they end up going on, and in the midst of this mission, they end up finding out that there are other elements that are working against them. And they're part of the elements that were part of the group that put them together. So it just becomes this thing of heroism coming out of some of the most unlikely places, guys that stick together and fight together no matter what the odds, what the circumstances are. And ultimately, you just see this level of heroism that not much was expected. So that's kind of the crux of that story.
And Leon, you served in the U.S. Army, if I'm not mistaken, 82nd Airborne Division. Do you draw a lot of the inspiration from this book, kind of based off your experiences in the past?
Yeah, there was a large portion of it was based on some of my own personal experiences. This project kind of came to me from St. Martin's Press. I got hired to write it. They were looking for somebody who could handle an urban element of this this novel, as well as the military aspect. And so it's kind of a marrying of different forces, because the project itself came from the idea of a gentleman named Anthony Vinci, A. John Vinci. And it was his idea that he brought to Macmillan Publishing and Entertainment. They have some ideas of what they want to see and what their future plans are on the entertainment side, but they wanted to have a novel to accompany it. So that's how I ended up having the fortune of writing that novel. The great thing was it allowed me to reach back into some of my own experience to incorporate that into the novel.
Last question here for J. Leon Pridgen II, an actor and author whose credits include the movie The Program. He plays Ray Griffin, the senior running back, who is not going to be his starting job taken away from him easily by Omar
Epps'
character.
No, he's the starter, man. Starting running back, Ray Griffin.
He's the starter, and he dates Halle Berry, too, and quite frankly, one of the coolest characters in that entire cast. We ask this of all the guests that we bring on, of the national variety especially, because we're always on the lookout for interesting people that maybe we just don't know about otherwise. So we ask you, Leon, is there somebody that you know that you think might make an interesting guest for us in the future? If it's sports related, great. But otherwise, if it's somebody who's just a really good storyteller or someone who covers subject matter that you think we should shed some more light on, is there a name that comes to your mind that you think we should try and get on as a future guest?
I would say Keith David. The gentleman I was mentioning on the show Greenleaf, I think that he's a fantastic storyteller. He actually is the voice of the Navy. You know, if you see the commercial that says a global force for good, that's his voice. He's also a character on Halo, the video game.
Nice.
But he does, tremendous voice, but great, great storyteller and a great guy. Great guy.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for that. We are definitely going to try and track Keith David down. And before we let you go, Leon, I just wanted to let the listeners know that we're giving away a copy of Unit 416 right now. It's not out for another month, but we're going to give that out right now. Give Zach a call at 447-3776 to get your advanced copy of Unit 416. He's also sent a couple of copies to us as well.
Let's go.
To give a read, and I'm looking forward to that one as well. Leon, thank you so much for the time today. We really appreciate it and enjoyed your thoughts on the program, acting, and writing books.
Yeah, no problem. Oh, and just real quickly, for all your listeners, if you are interested, you can go to Amazon.com, pre-order the book. Just go to the book section, look for Unit 416. It's there, and it's actually at a discounted price. So go ahead and pick that up.
Very cool. Thank you very much for that, Leon. Best of luck in the future, and we look forward to having you on again at some point. We're going to figure out a good reason to have you back on the radio show again soon, my friend.
Man, I look forward to it. Thank you. I appreciate that, and your audience. Thank you all for having me today.
There he goes. Thank you, Leon. Great stuff. Yeah. Great stuff. Yeah, check it out. Amazon.com. Unit 416 comes out on the 4th of July, but you can pre-order it right now. And there's no better date to release a book about the military than the 4th of July, right? Come on.
We talked about it a little bit off the air a couple days ago when I had booked him for this show. And there may be some really exciting things for Leon pertaining to this book in the near future as well. I'm not going to spoil any of those, but sounded really cool for him. And best of luck to Leon. Obviously, somebody who has his stuff together, if he's able to maintain an acting and a writing career like that at the same time.
No doubt about it. Written a couple books so far, acting in a ton of roles, but the program, we got one person saying the program's not that good, doesn't like the humor of it, but I'm a big fan of that kind of humor.
How about this guy going to his high school reunion knowing that he dated Halle Berry in a movie?
Dude, I had to ask him. I was like, I'm going to ask that at the end as a joke, and I was like, no way, dude. I need the official official response. What was it like to kiss Halle Berry and act with her on set? Oh, that was great. All right. If our man Zach's finagling over there, but we got to get to break. When we come back, we'll shoot some bull. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK right here on The Horn. Looking at rompers, baby.
Oh,
this could be done on Friday. I think game four is Friday. This could be a, if this is an NBA final sweep, you better get your credit card out, my man.
The amount of different types of male rompers is a little bit disturbing. I'm not going to lie. Back here on Midday with Trey and BK, just making a cursory search of male rompers during the commercial break because I don't feel good about the Cavs' chances the rest of the way.
Come on, they did it last year. They were down 2-0 last year.
They did, and honestly, looking up LeBron's stats when he's down 0-2 in series, he typically wins game threes in those instances. He's 4-1 lifetime, the only loss coming when his Cavs back last decade were swept by the Spurs in the finals. But other than that, those Cleveland and Miami teams tend to show up when they're down 0-2 in series.
Yeah, I do think they're going to win tonight, but this might be the only one that they get the way the Dubs have played the first couple of games in this series. But then again, you know, the Warriors won the first two games by a bigger margin than they did this year, but they also Didn't have Kevin Durant last year.
Yeah.
And they've got him this year. That's pretty cool. What was it? Keith David was the dude's name?
Yeah, we're going to get him on.
The voice of the Navy?
We are getting him on.
Around the world.
Our 6 degrees of conversation.
Around the clock. It's Navy time, bitch. It's probably not it.
I don't think that's it.
That's not our U.S. Navy slogan.
No.
All right.
It might be now. Going forward with President Trump.
Great. There's the politics.
I do wonder, though, because the original Top Gun movie, a lot of people don't realize this, was financed in part by the U.S. Navy. So it was, call it propaganda if you want. It was something that the Navy was trying to use to boost their image in the public's mind. And I'd say it did a good job, as well as get more people playing sand volleyball, which is maybe a secondary role in that film, but still an important one nonetheless. I wonder if Keith David, since there's a new Top Gun out, is going to have any sort of role, even if it's a voiceover role in that film, too.
Yeah, Keith David, Halo, yeah. The Navy.
Yeah.
Dude's everywhere.
Yeah.
I recognize that face too, man, but that voice is unforgettable. That's awesome.
Specs text line before we get to Shooting the Bull, 3373776. All right, calm down. He said penile institutions. That means, well, it means exactly what you think it means. He meant penal institutions. He just had a slight misspeak there.
I didn't catch that. What is a penile institution? Interesting.
How do I answer that one?
Penile, an institution relating or affecting to the penis, based off of the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of penile.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
No, okay. Maybe you didn't misspeak then. Maybe I just have a dirty mind, too.
No, he did say penile, not like P-E-N-I-L-E. He meant penal.
Yeah.
Right? Penal versus penile. Yeah. That's two different things.
Okay.
So I'm curious if he was actually talking about penile institutions, because I'm not too sure what's going on with his life. I don't know if I want to know more information about the penile institution. That sounds like a Bucky type thing. I don't know if I want to deal
with
that. Science. Oh, I hate science. Science is the worst thing ever, dude. I'm not a fan of that.
Science is not the worst thing ever. However, science is ever evolving, which means that a lot of what you see in the science world today may be considered incorrect tomorrow. So it's fast moving. You have to make sure to stay well read to stick with it, too. We laid down on the road in front of Pflugerville High School when that movie came out. The movie, of course, The Program, that we just spoke with J. Leon Pridgen II about. And I responded, thankfully you're here to text about it.
Man.
The texter said, yeah, it was pretty dumb. So
that is dumb. That is one of the dumbest possible things you could do. So the people would just like lay out in the middle of the highway on the yellow line just thinking, all right, the cars are going to go right by. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Dude. Did people try and do some sick motorcycle jumps too when that movie came out?
Oh, yeah. Like when Kane takes his Swanson. Not Dansby Swanson. He's on the Atlanta Braves.
Christy Swanson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wonder if people tried stuff like that.
It's a great question. Yeah, there's a line because at some point, you just have to let it be. And I don't want to say just we're weaning the stupid people out of the populace, but there's a certain point where you just have to.
Survival of the fittest,
something
baby.
Be. But the lay down on the road thing, no, I think it was pretty unnecessary. And it's one of those things that is maybe less obvious to the developing teenage mind that makes it think that it's okay to do something like this. We have a texter who did so. Fortunately, nothing happened to that person, but in Pennsylvania, it did, and they ultimately took it out of the video version of the film, too. Now, here's the hater of the movie.
Uh-oh.
Couldn't disagree more about The Program. The film is so ridiculously cheesy, it's mostly unwatchable except for minor comic relief. Even James Caan said The Program is one of the worst films ever made.
Isn't James Caan the...
He's the head coach.
Isn't he the dad from Elf? Also,
he's the dad from Elf. Also,
awesome.
That guy hasn't given a flip about an acting role since The Godfather. You can tell it in The Program. He's mailed it in. The guy is making money at this point without really much of a care in terms of how much effort he puts into those
roles. So is he still alive? Like, is he still acting, or is this one of those things at the end of his career? Oh, he's 77. I don't know what he's got going on.
He may have just gone Chad Hastings with this. If James Caan dies in the next 2 weeks, that's on you.
Yeah, well, I already saw the movie, so that's all I need from that guy.
This person says he gives it 2 out of 5 stars. So
aren't all sports movies like that, with just cliches and feel goods and obvious stuff that you kind of know what's going to happen, right?
Yep.
I mean, I feel like this one had, I don't know, I want to say twists and turns, but more like you said, there weren't movies before this that talked about steroids in college football or alcohol problems, dealing with the pressure of being a Heisman candidate. Wasn't that kind of new for its time? Like, all movies usually have, like, The tough thing, the thing that they have to overcome is like a rival. They lose in the playoffs the year before and they have to beat them the next year. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
This kind of had a whole bunch of different storylines. I liked it.
You're right about that.
Everybody, of course, is entitled to their own opinion.
Last text here before we get to shooting the bull. Displaced Sooner writes in, penile institution? Is that the Penn State locker room?
Oh.
Shooting the bull.
Come on. The Sandusky Blitz.
It's time to pay tribute to our former show, Shooting the Bull, which was all over the map, sports and otherwise. And we do that every day at around 12:30. And BK, what do you got up first today?
The great Alex Rodriguez.
Yes, sir.
696 home runs, which, you know, to hell with A-Rod, right? He doesn't deserve a whole lot. Cheated the game a lot. Was kind of a POS. Played for the Rangers. Traded him. Whatever. Everybody knows who A-Rod is.
Sure.
He's been dating J-Lo. Jennifer Lopez for the last year or so,
okay.
And apparently they've been inseparable. There's been pictures of those two all over the world, traveling, spending time with each other's kids, parents, all this kind of stuff. Well, apparently A-Rod is dealing with an ex, a woman from hell, as TMZ.com calls her, has hit him up in expectations of $600,000 to keep her mouth shut. And then she's gone out and said that A-Rod has still been sexting her, asking for some inappropriate video footage over text from back when they were dating. And let me try to find this woman's name. I lost the name. My internet crashed and I lost it. But A-Rod apparently is under fire. Come on, man. A-Rod, J-Lo, you buying this? You buying this power couple? It looks like this thing's coming to an end.
I don't buy anything with that guy. Any motive that he has, there's some sort of underhanded reason why it's going down the way that he wants
to. I mean, he's proven that he's a cheater, so that might kind of apply on and off the field.
Now, you're up front about your unwillingness to ever get into another committed relationship for the rest of your life. It's why we regularly tell people that you plan on dying alone.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever dated somebody or gone out with somebody a couple of times and then broken it off and had that person go a little bit psycho on you?
Yes, absolutely.
What happened?
Boy, I don't know if I want to get into this too much. I don't know. They'll just hit me up too much. Whenever they see me on the streets, they'll just ask me, and then they'll start making stories up about me and spread them to their friends.
What stories?
Just like who I was hooking up with and who I was going around with, and that I told her that I loved her and that I wanted to date her and be with her forever when that wasn't true.
You're definitely not the guy who uses the I love you game, right?
No,
girls he loves them the second time that they're ever hanging out.
One of my problems that I have had in the past, and I have gotten over this, I would tell girls, you know, just to try to, God, this is terrible. I mean, the people are going to hate me out there, but just to try to advance the process a little bit. Trust the process in the bedroom, I would say, that I'm super into them and we're interested in potentially taking them out and going out with them. I would just say that. Girls like to hear that kind of stuff. They want the compassion. They want the comfort. They want to know that you're going to be there for them and it's not just to hit it and quit it.
Potentially take her out on a date or something.
Oh, yeah, just like, yeah, exactly. Like, maybe make her my girlfriend, something like that.
You don't say that.
That was a problem that I had after a few too many I'd put back. I'm a terrible person, dude. I'm trying to get better, all right? I'm trying to get better. And, it was bad.
That's a step above the I love you. I had a girl stalk me. I dated her for a couple weeks in Chicago, and I was working for Whole Foods at the time, and I was cutting cheese in the cheese department at this particular moment of my Whole Foods career, and the cheese department was located underneath where there was like general seating.
Is that an expression? You actually cutting
the cheese? Or like, yeah, what are we talking about here?
Literally cutting cheese and wrapping cheese and putting price tags on the cheese.
You worked at a grocery store?
What do you guys think I was referencing?
What, didn't cut the cheese like to pass gas or something?
You weren't doing that in the cheese section?
Yeah, I figured you were just trying to make a joke. You were actually cutting cheese at a grocery store?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was doing both of those things at times, but mostly it involved literally cutting.
I mean, in the cheese section, you wouldn't really be able to tell. I mean, that area smells a lot anyway.
That's one of the benefits of working in the cheese department, you're right, is, you know, in here, I'm not just going to let one loose and force Brad to suffer through it. I'm going to walk out and walk around and basically,
room and have it be in here? Because this room always smells like ass.
Well, that's, I don't know why that is, because Brad is the guy who's in that producer's booth before
I blame
you.
The weekend guy. That's who I blame.
Yeah, every time I did a show after Casey and Lyle in here, it smells like wintergreen dip and dead fish, dude. It's nasty. It smells like fat, honestly. That's what they smell like. I don't know how to describe it, but they smell like fat.
So anyhow, I'm crop dusting the entire rest of the office. I'm trying to save you in here when I decide to do that. But you're right, Zach. In the cheese department, you can get away with it, and you can just pin it on. Like, I can pin it on my 2-year-old when I'm at home or when we're out in public. I'm like, oh, my gosh, my 2-year-old.
Does your wife care?
Does
crazy when you're at home. Like, does your wife care if you pass gas at this point? You've been together for a while.
Well, she cares. She doesn't have much of a choice, though. I'm a very gaseous individual.
Well, that happens, man. It's part of marriage,
but,
right?
But I was literally cutting cheese in the cheese department, and this girl that I dated for a couple of weeks, this trained dancer from Taiwan, she literally came and posted up at a table in the balcony that overlooked the cheese department without telling me. So I look up and I see her. I'm like, well, that's kind of strange. So I take my 15-minute break, go up and talk to her, like, hey, what's up? What's going on? She's like, no, I just came up to do some computer work and eat breakfast. 8 hours later, at the end of my shift, she was still there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How much computer work did she have? What was she eating for breakfast?
I think it was more of like a not to get racial on things, but
uh-oh.
I think it was more of a geisha sort of mindset where she was there.
So what, she like binded her toes together under her feet?
She had done a little bit of that in her past, but she was there to like serve me in some way, shape, or form, and there to like be there for me if need be. But I'm a very independent person, so that creeped me out, and I had to have the conversation with her afterwards. Look, this probably isn't going to work out. You just violated my personal space.
Yeah, I had a group that my friends called the harem. I kind of, you know, passed around a little bit between myself. I passed them around to me. And one of the girls was the one I was talking about who was super obsessed with me. She would like, she found out I was making moves on some of her other friends, and she would just go up to them and say, oh, no, we're dating. Him and I are dating.
Oh.
When I found that one out, that's when we had the talk. I'll tell you what. It was a great talk.
What was the talk?
I just, you know, stay in your lane. That's pretty much the entire conversation. Oh, all right. We got to get to break. It is National Running Day, which is the worst day of the year. I'm not going to do that today. National VCR Day. I don't know what a VCR is. Whatever. That was a weird shooting the bull. Talking about exes and dating life. Good stuff. Hope our parents aren't listening and your wife's not listening. All right, we'll come back. We will talk some sports, I promise. We will jump into the NBA Finals. Game 3 tonight. We will give our picks. Can Cleveland make this a series? Or do the Golden State Warriors go up 3-0 tonight? We'll give our picks and analysis. Coming back, one more segment to go. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK right here on The Horn.
Ooh, I like this. Back on Midday with Trey and BK. Zach, what is this?
This is Broken Bones by CRX. It came up on one of my Spotify playlists on my way home yesterday. I thought you'd like it.
Damn, that's quality stuff.
You're lucky he didn't get, you know, all the stuff I wanted him to play today was explicit.
Because you're asking for things that have cuss words every other word.
I was like, guys, I mean, if you want to take the risk, there's a dump button in here for a reason, but I just didn't know.
You don't know Fetty Wap or Ray Schremmert?
No.
You're speaking a foreign language
about
to me right
Iggy
now.
Iggy Azalea.
I've heard of that one before.
It's all their birthdays today.
Okay. Specs text line 337-3776. First off, thanks to CB for tweeting a picture of a VCR to us. He's at Brad Kellner. I'm at Curtis
Wayne. Come on, CB.
Zach is at Soccer is a Sport.
No, it's not.
And CB also asks, do I pass gas because I eat so healthy? I don't think so.
Is that a thing? Do you eat the asparagus? Doesn't asparagus make you gassy or something like that? No, make sure pee smell like just trash.
Right, exactly.
Asparagus is gross. Do you like that stuff?
I can eat asparagus if it's prepared correctly. I'm that way with Brussels sprouts as well, but there's a lot of very poorly prepared asparagus out
nasty.
There.
Nasty. I had it one time. That was gross.
Left Testy texts in, BK, you're not a terrible person. You're just an average, superficial man. Nothing wrong with that.
Tip of the cap. Thank you, sir.
And
what happened to the right Testy? We'll find out maybe one of these days, but that's all right.
Somebody else says, I like it, you man whore, speaking to you. Tracking Todd texts in about The Program, the movie that we reviewed a little bit earlier at the end of the 11 o'clock hour. It has Christy Swanson in it. Enough said.
There it is. She was hot. And I don't know if I know any other Christy Swanson. I'm sure she's been in a ton of stuff. She kind of looked familiar, but I couldn't put a face to a name. But man, she looked great in that movie. And she's 47 now, so she was 23 when that came out. Dude, there's not a whole lot of girls my age who look like that. Like, she was beautiful.
She was. She was. Former Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was also in, I forget the movie with Charlie Sheen, but The Program was one of the pinnacles for her. Buhika, before we get to our NBA Finals predictions. BK, how many times did you lay down on Dirty Sixth?
Lay down on the street?
Like The Program.
That is disgusting. Well, first of all, they close off Sixth Street, thankfully, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, so there's no cars out there, because that's obviously a recipe for disaster. But no, dude, I mean, I might have fallen a couple times down there, I'm not going to lie. Might have ate at a time or two, but in terms of actually laying down on that street, dude, there's horse crap everywhere.
Yeah.
They got all the damn police horses, they don't pick up after their horses, come on. Those things just Oh,
that always frustrated me too.
Yeah, that's all right.
Simple White Boy says, Trey, do you drink your coffee with your little finger out? Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Asparagus.
And asparagus prepared right means with mayonnaise or an aioli, which is a fancy way to say mayonnaise.
I don't even know what that means. All right, can we get to some NBA finals? Can we salvage this with a little bit of sports today?
Yeah, game three is tonight in Cleveland at 8 o'clock on ABC.
And by the way, this is the only two game set in this series where there's only one day of rest. So there's only one day off in between games three and four. We don't have the ridiculous, you know, Thursday, Sunday to Wednesday type deal. We'll have a game tonight and game four, which could be a closeout game for Golden State should they win tonight. Game four will be Friday night at the Q. A lot of things need to change for the Cavs tonight, Trey.
They sure do, and I really don't understand why there's not a game this weekend. Like, save Friday's game until Saturday or just play a game on Sunday. Yeah, you're having to travel back to Golden State. Come on, it's not like you're taking the train to get there. You guys own private jets at this point. You can do it when you want
to. It's a 3-hour flight.
Yes.
And no, it's they overdo this stuff, and basketball's not the most physically demanding sport out there. Like, people are mad that hockey is doing this now with the travel day when they're traveling from, you know, arena to arena, Nashville to Pittsburgh. They're getting an extra day, which people hate that. In basketball, it's just a known thing. I mean, games one and game two in the same arena, 2 days in between. What the hell you need 2 days for? Let's get this thing done. Come on.
Right. So as far as what Cleveland needs to do to at least try and make this a series once again, down 0-2 right now, the first thing they need to do, BK, is hit their open shots. They've been terrible through two games at hitting moderately open shots and wide open shots as well. That has to change or nothing else matters for the Cavs in this series.
Well, they've got
to
hit some threes. I mean, in game one, they were 11 of 31 from downtown. In game two, they were 8 of 29. And that's around 30% total for the first two games. That's not going to get it done. And the recipe to beat Golden State is to out-three-ball them, because Golden State's the best three-point shooting team in the league. They'll take you to school if you try to shoot 40 or 50 a game like they do. But you got to hit some. I mean, you got to hit something. And J.R. Smith, 1 for 6, 3 total points in the first two games. Kyle Korver, the three-point specialist, he's been non-existent. Deron Williams, I don't know why the hell that dude even plays. These role players on Cleveland have to be better. And role players generally are better at home. That's kind of what happened last year. I mean, Cleveland won game three after being down 0-2. They won game three at home by 30 points. I mean, all the talk about Golden State sweeping, which we had last year, Cleveland came out and put an end to that. Now, of course, Golden State won game four. The rest is history. But Cleveland had a great game three. You talked about it. LeBron's been successful in game threes in his career when down 0-2. But it doesn't matter what LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love do. If none of the other guys, JR, Tristan Thompson, Kyle Korver, if none of those dudes come up to play tonight, it's going to be a 3-0 deficit.
Yeah, Tristan Thompson has 8 total rebounds in this series. Steph Curry has 16. That's not to mention the lack of anything that they're getting on the offensive end.
Curry has twice as many rebounds as Tristan Thompson does?
Twice as many rebounds.
Dude.
We haven't seen any of one of Cleveland's bread and butter plays, which is Tristan making that backdoor cut and receiving an alley-oop from Kyrie Irving. There are a lot of things that Cleveland has gotten used to doing this year, including in the playoffs, that they've just totally gotten away from.
Yeah.
And maybe them being back home will lead to that, too.
And LeBron James has to be better. I mean, he's been the best player on the floor for the Cavs by far. The dude had a triple-double. But the fact that he has 4 total points in the fourth quarters of games 1 and 2, 4 points total in 2 fourth quarters, LeBron, I don't care if you have a 40-point triple-double. You got to do something in the fourth quarter. Your team needs you. You got to conserve some energy in the first half. Do it. You need to play in the fourth.
Yeah, and as good as LeBron has been statistically outside of the fourth quarter, the tone has also been set against him at times. Think about the Steph Curry dribble breakdown where LeBron was just left in shambles
on
that bucket.
One word. Who wins tonight, Trey?
Cavs.
Cavs. I got the Cavs, too. All right, we're out of here. For the production wizard, the Greek freak, soccer's not a sport. Zach Christo across the glass from my man, the sultan of cynicism, the vomit king, Trey Elling across the table. I am BK. We'll be back to get it popping same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.